How is the budget situation at the Defense Department affecting the aerospace industry right now? And what do you see happening over the next year to 2 years to 5 years?
Well, that's a great question, and I wish I knew, Francis, because the situation right now is that we are working under, finally, a fixed budget number for this fiscal year. But the big debate, of course, is coming up over the size of the federal budget in general, and certainly the defense budget in particular, as we look at the fiscal year 12 and beyond. And that's where there is a lot of uncertainty. And I think the uncertainty is really one of the key issues here, because remember, unlike most other parts of the economy, for the industry that manufactures the equipment and technology that protects the troops, and that's what we're talking about, if we don't know how our one customer is going to be budgeting and what they are going to decide they need, it is very, very difficult to plan and to then function efficiently.
You have some unique experience from the agency side, having been in charge of the Federal Aviation Administration. Talk about whatever insight you might have, obviously not into what Secretary Gates is trying to do or decisions that he's trying to make, but just the sensibility that you have to apply when you're in a leadership position in an agency and try to sort all these things out to then be able to come to groups like yours and explain what is potentially going to happen.
Well, I would say certainly that the experience in any operational agency probably has some real parallels, whether it's the Federal Aviation Administration or, in this case, the Department of Defense. When there is not the latitude for at least the kind of growth that inflation calls for just to stay even, you're having downward pressure on the overall budget. And when that happens, your operational costs eat up the rest of the budget. And what goes, or what diminishes and often withers, is the procurement, the modernization of equipment, and R&D. And I think we all understand, particularly when it comes to national security, that what is protecting our troops right now in Afghanistan and Iraq is absolutely wonderful technology, but much of it had to be developed with R&D way back 20 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, the military itself, the Department of Defense, doesn't make anything. The industry, the manufacturing industry, is where it all comes from. And that pipeline that begins to look at what are the best things we could try to do to protect the troops, not just this year, next, but 5 years, 10 years from now, and then develop the technology that's going to make it happen. That's where the pressure is coming, and frankly, that's where we really do have some very difficult problems and choices.
You made that case and discussed all these issues with Defense Undersecretary Carter this week, also with Senator Murray and Senator Chambliss, each of them having very vibrant aerospace industries in their states. Talk about the response that you got, the comments that you heard from Secretary Carter, and what you thought of those, and what his response was to some of the concerns that you've talked about here.
Well, I think, you know, it's very important to note that Undersecretary Carter and Secretary Gates have been very willing to meet with the industry to look at questions of the industry's health, because that's what they're depending on. And it's not just the primes, which I think that was the difficulty in Ash Carter's speech the other day, was it focused on the top 20 companies. Well, underneath those companies are second, third, and fourth tier manufacturers, small guys, small businesses, and they may be the only source for a particular kind of part or finishing. When you get into weapons technology, that can be very unusual, sometimes exotic technology, and yet those companies are the ones that I don't think enough attention is being paid to their health. That also is important to the primes, because somewhere between two-thirds and three-fourths of the overall weapon system they develop, the overall aircraft they develop, comes from the suppliers and comes from those tiers. And there, when the budget pressures eliminate the opportunity to work on a new program, to begin manufacturing at a steady state of production, You then find that they can't stay healthy, and that's a real problem. Downsizing production lines up and down cycles really is extremely difficult for smaller businesses to be able to survive.
What kind of feedback are you getting from Congress? One of the frustrations that Secretary Gates has run into is he's told Congress, we don't want this, we don't need. And to be fair, it's before Secretary Gates as well. Other defense secretaries have said the same thing. There are things that we don't want, we don't need, and they cost too much and so on, and they're appropriated anyway. Are you getting a sense from both Senator Murray and Senator Chambliss from this event and other members that you're having conversations with that those days may be behind us?
Well, I think it's very clear Senators Murray and Chambliss both understand the importance of the defense industrial base. They know what it means to have a manufacturing industry that's generating good jobs and is providing, as I say, the best technology for our volunteer troops. I also think Secretary Gates is rightly pointing out that these days, you know, earmarks are much less something that will be happening with any of the federal budget, much less the defense budget. So big decisions about strategy have to be made. And he's pointing that out. He gave a very good speech the same day that we held the event on the Hill, where he talked about the fact that at this point, the low-hanging fruit in terms of canceling procurements in defense is over. They need the tanker. They need a long-range bomber. They certainly need the F-35. And the fact of the matter is that if we are not going to be able to afford everything that is really vitally needed under the current strategic plans that we have and the nation's ability to continue to defend itself and, you know, go quickly where we need to go and do what we need to do all over the globe, some very hard decisions would then have to be made, which would diminish America's capabilities in defense and, frankly, does diminish our security. So he's saying, look, the easy decisions are over. The programs that could be canceled were. And for the most part, it then comes down to, does America want to be a different power than we are today? Can we afford to be that? And those are tough decisions.
One final question for you, Ms. Blakey. I appreciate your time this afternoon. You mentioned that there has been a healthy dialogue between the industry and the Pentagon. The conversations that you've had with Secretary Gates, with Deputy Secretary Lynn, with Undersecretary Carter, all three of them at various times have been very clear about the fact that they understand the need for a robust and profitable defense industrial base. Does that give you any comfort that they at least know where you're coming from and understand the value of that relationship and maintaining that relationship?
Yes, it does. And I think more than ever before, that is something that the Pentagon is focusing on. And they are trying through a variety of means, including trying to deal with cumbersome processes in the Pentagon, trying to improve the export control process, which puts a lot of barriers in front of U.S. industry to be able to export our technology. They're trying on a variety of fronts to address these issues. So, yes, but in the heart of it, we need a defense industrial policy. We need a strategy that doesn't look at just the next couple of years, but looks 5, 10, 20 years out, because that's the way this industry has to function, and that's really what is required to be able to plan to stay healthy.
Ms. Blakey, I would love to have you come back at some point and talk about your view of developing that policy, because developing kind of a long-term vision is something that has eluded a lot of federal agencies, and thinking about how that would look at DOD, I think, would be a fascinating conversation.
I'd be very pleased to do so. Thank you for thinking of this today. I'm glad you thought of it.
Thank you for your time this afternoon, Mary.